Good morning, Faith Life Church. A great for you to let me into your house again. Hey, you've made it. It's Friday. It's been a tough week. There's so many things happening. Parents, I just want to acknowledge you. You've got your kids at home. You've got your husband at home. Wow, it's like camping but at home. I just really want to acknowledge you. Fantastic. All of you are doing such a great job. For us, this is everything is new. I have never ever done Easter service from home, and I'm here. I've got Pastor AJ here, so we're really celebrating. We're doing the two meter rule. I was going to say 2 minutes. We walk away 2 minutes, but it's great to have you. This weekend is Easter, and Easter is known as the Passover. It's an amazing. What really amazes me about Easter is I did some research. Australians spend $2.1 billion a year on presents. So you've got Christmas, anniversary. Hey, I just want to acknowledge all the ladies in the house. It is that women spend more on presents for the ones they love than the men. Men, I want to acknowledge you. Step it up. Step it up. Bring it. Do a better present. But so out of $20 billion, only $2.3 billion is spent during Easter. One of the things I've learned is we've learned how to celebrate Christmas really well, but Easter has sort of taken a little bit of a downward spiral. But what we're doing as a church, we're going to lift up Easter. What really blessed me about Easter was Pastor AJ made this comment to me and just started something stirring in my spirit. In Bethlehem, which is right next to Jerusalem, is where they keep all the lambs for the Passover. And it just kind of dawned on me is that Easter all started at Christmas. So what you have is all the lambs for the Passover are birthed and raised and nurtured in Bethlehem. Isn't it interesting that when Jesus was born, the shepherds were nearby, so it was the shepherds at Bethlehem where God introduced them to the Passover lamb. And what also starts to be interesting is that when we start to talk about the Passover starts with Palm Sunday. And on Palm Sunday is when we know when Jesus came into Jerusalem and they were singing Hosanna, Hosanna to God in the highest. And they were taking palm trees and putting them down, taking their coats off. Little kids were worshiping. It was an amazing event. But also at the same time, the lambs were brought from Bethlehem into Jerusalem. So you see this correlation that it started at the birth in Bethlehem, but it ends up in Jerusalem. And now when we start talking about Jesus came into Jerusalem where everybody was in preparation for Passover. Now Passover starts off as if you've been a Christian long enough, you would have been heard stories about the great Exodus, the opening of the Red Sea, but it all started, the Passover started, and it was initiated not by people, but by God. So when we start thinking about the Passover, it starts off where God always initiates your breakthrough. Everything that you need, we don't have to go and find it, it finds us. So what we learn about the Passover is that it's that initiated by God. Now, the beauty with when it's initiated by Jesus, when it's initiated by the Father, is when God initiates a promise, He then tells you how you can enter that promise. So one of the things that we learn about the love of God and the pleasure of God is He'll never give you a present or give you a promise that you can't have. He's not going to irritate you. He's not going to ruffle you. He's not going to say, you know, like we used to use, put a carrot in front of you. It doesn't exist. So the Bible says, He who initiates the breakthrough. Now, there's a saying that we used to say that all roads lead to Rome. Or there is a God, but you can choose which way you want to get to Him. I want to dissipate all of that. So when God gives a breakthrough, and He gives you a promise of a breakthrough, He gives us a promise of a breakthrough in the situation that we are in now. But He doesn't then just say, now you work it out. You know, hey, you're smart enough, you need to pray, you need to fast, you need to find out how you can get to that breakthrough. The Passover comes in and says, God comes to the children of Israel and says, I'm going to set you free. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. But then he never leaves it to us. So God says, when I initiate a promise, I'm also going to give you the steps. I'm going to position you so that you can do it. So what we need to do is just relax in this, and you're going, God, you're going to give me the way. You are the way maker, miracle waker. So God moves into that. So what we find that when we start talking about the Passover is that God sends Moses and he says, I'm going to set you free. I'm going to set you free. But he doesn't leave it to the children of Israel. He just says, I'm going to show you. I'm going to work for you. And what we find is for us to get the benefit of the Passover, God doesn't leave it to chance. God doesn't leave it that you can miss it. But he actually talks to us. So when we look at Exodus chapter 12, Exodus chapter 12 is our exit strategy. It is how you move for your breakthrough. So where you are right now, you might have lost your job. You might be in tension at the home. There must be so many myriad of things. There's the fear. God says, I want to show you what I am going to do. And I'm going to show you, I am going to walk you through it. Let this sink into your spirit. Let it explode in your mind. Is that the Holy Spirit is in the house. Jesus is in the house. Jesus is next to you right now, and he's going to walk you through to your breakthrough. Just repeat that in yourself. Jesus is going to walk me through to my miracle. Jesus is going to walk me through to my breakthrough. Jesus is going to walk me through to my source. So here we go. So in Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, and he says the first thing that the Passover does, he says this, from now on, this month will be the first month of the year for you. So the first thing that the Passover does is changes your calendar. Passover, changing your calendar. And I used to start to think, so God says, you don't wait to January to get your breakthrough. You don't wait to a season. He says, this is the season. So God says, this day, this Passover is going to be the new beginning. Now, I just wonder, it's a new year. Every year has a calendar. Every year has 365 days. Every year has appointments. So when I look at my own calendar, I looked at it this morning and I go, I've got, you know, this appointment has to be changed. So all the way through the year, people have made things in the calendar. Sule comes in, she puts things in the calendar. My kids come in, they put their things. My board comes in, they put. So my calendar is full. But the breakthrough comes when God says, hey, I'm changing your calendar. What does that mean for you? You might have thought, oh man, we're in this mess and nothing's going to change. This is going to go forever. You might be in a situation where you go, oh, it's going to take years. Passover changes your personal calendar. So God says, what you thought was going to take this, I'm going to do it. So here we are. We need to come in for our breakthrough with a clean calendar. God, fill my calendar. God, fill my calendar. So every day has a purpose. Every day has a victory. Every day has a miracle. Every day has a breakthrough. Because if we fill in our own calendar, we will work to fulfill our own calendar. But God says, this is a brand new day. This is how you're going to receive your breakthrough. So number one, I love this. Passover changes your calendar. From now on, the person that puts things in your calendar is not finances, it's not sickness, it is God. It is the will of God. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, these are the plans I have for you. So let the plan maker, the miracle worker, start to write things in your calendar. So first thing is Passover is changing my calendar. From the moment I activate the Passover, everything becomes new. So be prepared when you're sitting there with your wife, with your family. You could be sitting there alone, but the calendar is going to change. So do not rub in, this is going to last forever. I'm going to show you what the Passover does. So in verse 2, God says, let me change the calendar. Let me change the seasons. You thought it was winter, but it's going to be summer. You thought it was drought, but it's going to be rain. You thought it was going to be lack, but it's going to be power. You thought it was going to be sickness, but it's going to be health. So God changes it. Now look at verse 3 to 6. Verse 3 to 6 tells you that the Passover is personal. It's personal. It's not impersonal, because we don't serve an impersonal God. So this is what happened. He says, first, God says, be prepared, I'm changing the calendar. Second, he says, every household, I want you to go and get yourself a lamb. Get yourself a lamb and bring it home. It was really interesting. I was out sharing this with Pastor Silva, and she made this remark. She said she's been studying this. And she said what used to happen is that the family would go and get a lamb. And what they would do is they would get the lamb and bring it into the house. They would become familiar with the lamb. So it wasn't, sometimes when we think about a lamb for a household, I'm from a farm. My granddad, my grandma used to have a farm, and it was all school farm. So I got used to seeing animals get slaughtered. I got used to having a pet. There was either a chicken or something like that. One day it's running around, next day it's Kentucky Fried Chicken. But so you get used to this, right? But so sometimes we get so in our sterile environment where we think, oh, I'm just going to go to the butchers, I'm going to get some lamb, I'm going to bring it here. What they did is they brought the lamb. They could smell the lamb. The lamb would come. Lambs are voice responsive. So they come, so they get used to it. So they pick a lamb. So what you want to understand this is they made a connection with the lamb. It wasn't an impersonal thing. It's that they would look at the lamb and they go, that is going to be our Savior. And then he said to them, now as a family, you're going to slaughter the lamb. You're going to slaughter that. And when you slaughter it, when you've picked it, now understand picking it, is they had to pick a perfect lamb. Because it's the perfectness of the lamb that makes a perfect sacrifice. And when it's a perfect sacrifice, it's a perfect environment. It's a perfect breakthrough. So they get a lamb. Then the father comes out, and now this is done outside the house. So they had the lamb inside the house. They take the lamb out, they bring it out, they slaughter it. Then they capture all the blood. Then the father will take hyssop, he would dip it in, and he would go on the doorway. And he would go this way, and then this way. He would almost make a cross. And he goes, you need to apply the blood of the lamb. Now, what you do notice is this was foreign to the children of Israel. No one's done this before. May I just really encourage you? All of us want the same thing. All of us want a breakthrough. But there are not multiple ways that we can break through. See, disappointment comes when we're after a breakthrough, but we go about it the wrong way. Disappointment comes when you go, well, I know what I want, but I want to choose how I get my breakthrough. I want to choose what I do. The children of Israel had a choice. The choice that they were given, do you want to be a slave or do you want to be free? That was it. But God never said, now, pick the way you want to be free. God says, that's my job. Your position is to choose, I want a breakthrough. And then the father comes in and he says, now let me do the rest. So the father goes, "What for your breakthrough, you're going to need the blood. You're going to need the blood. You're going to need the blood. You're going to need the blood." So they will take the blood. And now, for those of you that haven't ever noticed it, there's a certain smell that comes with blood. There's a fragrance to it. And it's rich, and it's vibrant in color, and they would paint their house. So for them, the picture is when you're walking into the house, you know that you're walking through blood. You're walking through the doorpost that is now stained with blood. Second thing they were to do is the blood is for the door, but the lamb needs to be brought into the house. Now just pause for a moment. You didn't leave the lamb outside. You put the blood, but the family had to make a choice. We're taking a lamb for our household. It wasn't forced upon them. It was a choice. So here you go. It is that you and I get to choose to bring the lamb in. And when they brought the lamb in, something happened. God says for them, the lamb, the blood is for the door, the lamb is for you. The blood is for the door, The lamb is for you. The blood belongs on the door. It's the entrance point, but you got to bring the lamb in. So as a family, they would bring the lamb in. And in verse 7 to 11, then God says, I'm going to show you what you need to do in how you are going to eat the lamb and how you're going to get dressed. So when we start talking about the power to get out, God says, number one, you need to dress properly. You need to dress for the occasion. Dress for the occasion. You know, one of the things when you do a lot of speaking, one of my first questions is always is, what's the dress standard? How do you dress? You'd be surprised. If you were going to ever meet the Queen, there would be somebody that would come to you and they would say, look, you need to be dressed like this. These are the priorities. So in verses from 7 to 11 of Exodus 12, we're taught how to dress. And we're taught how to eat. The first thing that the Bible says is that you need to be fully dressed. You need to be fully dressed for traveling. Oh, but they're slaves. They're slaves. They're not going anywhere. They're in quarantine. Here's the thing. While you're in quarantine, you dress like you're leaving. There are times, one of the things I noticed for myself, now, being quarantined in home, I know some of you, and I think most of us, have got our favorite t-shirt that our wife hasn't thrown out yet. You wear the comfortable stuff. You know no one is coming. You know everybody's in the quarantine. But the Bible tells them you need to dress like you're moving. You need to have an attitude like you're no longer going to be in quarantine. You might be in quarantine now, but you are leaving. You might have not what you want, but you're going to get it. So the whole point is you need to dress in preparation for the miracle. That means there are expectations need to rise up. So the first thing is you need to dress to it. Second is you need to put sandals on your feet. Where you are going, you're going to need a barrier between the dirt and where you are. So it says dress like you're leaving, put your sandals on, and the third thing he says, bring the staff. Now, when you start looking at those three things, dressing, shoes, staff. When you start to look at those three things, the first thing that jumps out is the prodigal son. The prodigal son needs a breakthrough. And what does he do? He comes to his dad. And his dad, the first thing he says to him, hey, he hasn't got proper clothes on. He's coming into his breakthrough. He's coming back into his provision. He's not dressed according to the provision that I have. So they dressed him. Second thing they did to the prodigal was that he put sandals on him. Now, when I start thinking, what's this idea with the sandals? This is it. In the culture of the Middle East, back then was this, is that servants walk barefooted. Sons have shoes, or masters have shoes. So God says to them, you've walked into the house as a slave, but you're going to walk out as a master. You're walking out. You're not walking out as a slave anymore. Third thing, he says, the rod, shepherd's rod. When you study the word rod, it means authority, authority, authority. That means that you look at it, Moses, he defeated Pharaoh's snake with the rod. So it's everywhere we talk about it in the scripture, rod equals his authority. So then, and he says this, but remember the son? He says, put a ring on him. What did the ring go? When every time anybody saw the ring in the story of the prodigal, it meant that he had his father's authority. He could buy and sell. So God says, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to dress like you're leaving. Do not settle in and saying, hey, this is as good as it gets. I want you to dress like this is going to stop. I want you to dress that things are changing. Then what I want you to do, I want you to stop begging. I want you to stop thinking that you are under the circumstances. You're not under the circumstances. You are over the circumstances. So in other words, is that you start thinking that you're not a slave to your house. You're not a slave to quarantine. You're free in the name of Jesus. Third, you still have authority. Excuse me? I've got authority? But look, I am in my house. You have authority because of the blood of the Lamb. So he tells them, dress well, act like a master. Third, exercise authority. Exercise authority in the home. And then, you know what he tells them then? He says, I want to show you that how you're going to eat the lamb. So he doesn't even give them, you know what, in my house, I have got tons of books, maybe not tons, but a lot of books on cooking, how you can have lamb, how you can do this. God says, no, I'm the chef. I'm going to show you how to cook it and how to eat it. What was amazing was this. He says, now when you come in, you walk through, that means that you are now protected. The moment you walk in, you're protected. Now watch this. You might be protected, but you've still got problems. But God says, I am going to heal you in your quarantine. Excuse me while I do my victory dance. Get this. God says, your victory is not going to happen when the quarantine stops. Your victory is going to happen now. You can have victory in the quarantine. So many of us are going thinking, when this is over, then. When this is over, I'm here to tell you that with the season we are in, that God says, I'm going to give you your breakthrough in the quarantine, and then others will see it when you leave. So the breakthrough comes in the quarantine. And he says this to them. Now, I want you to barbecue the lamb, but one of the things you're not going to do, you're not going to clean the lamb. You're going to keep all of the internal organs. And then the word of God says this. He told them, you are to eat the whole lamb. Now, I can hear you. I can hear you. You go, I don't need brains. I don't need the liver, I don't need the heart, I don't need the kidney. God said this, the lamb has to be fully consumed. Now, I'll show you why in a matter of this. So God says to them, you want total breakthrough? Total obedience. Total breakthrough? Total obedience. So one of the things I want to express, and I can't put enough weight on it, God didn't give him a smorgasbord and says, excuse me, liver intolerant. Oh, you don't have to do that. Hey, I'm kidney intolerant, yeah. I'm brain intolerant. No. Listen to me carefully. God never gave him a choice because he says, I want to give you perfect breakthrough, but to give you perfect breakthrough, you need to have perfect obedience. Perfect breakthrough equals perfect obedience. So you're coming in there, I'm not used to eating liver, but I'm going to eat liver. I'm not going to do this. So he consumed it. Now, I want to take you to an amazing scripture. What is the result of perfect obedience? Listen to Psalm 105, verse 37. And the Lord brought his people out of Egypt, loaded with silver and gold, and there was not one among the tribes of Israel that stumbled. I want you to get this. We're talking about slaves. We're talking about people that if you do a lot of manual labor, if you've ever done manual laboring, one of the most common problems that laborers have, especially with heavy laboring, is bad backs, joints. So you've got generations of slavery, people there, but God said, because you ate the lamb, everything that the lamb has is coming to you. So if just think about this, if a person that was in there had some issues in the mind or issues in the brain, when they would eat the brain, bang, the brain would come alive. I've got kidney problems, so I ate the lamb had kidneys, so I ate that, my kidneys came back, my joints, everything. So the word of God tells you is this, just think about this miracle. Whatever they ate, they got. Whatever they ate, they got. So the Bible says, if you want to be whole, eat the whole lamb. So what we have, you've got these sick people. You've got broke people. You've got this. But God says, because of the blood of the lamb, because of the sacrifice of the lamb, and because you ate the whole lamb, you get a whole healing. If you can imagine between 2 to 3 million people, no one was staggering. No one was bending backwards and going, oh no, can somebody carry me? Can you imagine what the Egyptians looked at him and said, hold on, there are slaves. And there's John. Yeah, well, John, we beat him up last week because he couldn't lift anything because he had a sword bad. But look at him now. And they go, they came in broke, but God loaded them up. Everything that they needed for their breakthrough came while they were in confinement. Think about this. So you might be complaining. Stop it. Stop your complaining. Stop your whinging. And just go like this. God's going to give me a breakthrough where I am. Where I am. Now watch something. Watch this. Jesus said this. If you want to be my disciple, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Now, when you start to see it, what was Jesus talking about? So you, even from there, you find that God is saying, hey, you got to eat me. You got to drink me. In Luke 28, 22, verse 8, God says this. You can see the same thing. He says to the disciples, I want you to go and I want you to prepare the Passover. Just think about this. Go back now to Exodus 12. And God says, there had to be preparation. You had to go and get the lamb. You had to do this. You had to do that. You had to eat it right. Go and prepare it. And then he says this, I desire to have it with you. So when we start talking about our communion, it reflects all back to the Passover. And the Passover is so rich. There's just so much more. So I want you to get this. If we obey in faith what God has said about communion, then we get total breakthrough. Your faith is alive. You're an amazing person. Now, remember, God will never promise you anything without giving you the faith to take it. That's just God. God says, I give you communion, I give you Passover, but I also give you the faith so that you can do it. And so what we have, it's prepared. God says, go prepare for it. Now, I want you to notice something. Communion is not about you taking. The communion is about you receiving. He said to them, think about this. The children of Israel prepared everything, but God gave them the breakthrough. And so he says to the disciples, I want you to go prepare a room. I want you to quarantine yourselves. I don't want to do it publicly. I don't want to do it in the street. I'm doing it because it's a personal thing. I have connection with you. And you know what he does? He brings them out. And then he says this. And he brings up a loaf. Now, don't you notice that he brings up a whole loaf? He doesn't break it up and he goes, you take a bit, you take a bit, you take a bit. But you know what he does? Because Jesus is the distributor of his own body. Wow. Just ponder that. Is that when we come into his presence, he serves us. When we come into his presence, he doesn't say, come on, you work for it. Now, picture this with me. They're at the table. They are reclining. The disciples are in a sitting position. They're not lining up. And remember, what is it? A sitting position always speaks about in a restful place, a completed place. And what does he do? He says, I'm going to break the bread. Now, watch something amazing. Is that Jesus is the one that offers the sacrifice, and Jesus is the sacrifice all at the same time. It is the priest that slays the lamb. So you've got a priest and a lamb, but Jesus is coming up and he says, hey, this is the Passover. I am the priest, but I'm also the lamb. So I come voluntarily to you. And he says, I'm taking myself of this. And I always wondered, God, why would you do that? So Jesus comes and he breaks the bread. Now the word of God says, man shall not live by bread alone. Now, it's cool. They used to tease me that I had a mouth as big as a banana. You know, that I could eat a banana sideways. Now, but one thing is, when I look at this bloke, right? I can try, but I probably need some plastic surgery, but I can't. And I was praying about this morning, and God said, because you've got to eat the whole life. You can't eat it all at once. You know, sometimes we just go, well, I'm just going to take a little bit. Oh, this is really good. And then leave it. But God says this, once you start eating, you don't stop eating. Church, that's why we read the Word of God. That's why we encourage you to, you know, pray and read, because God says, you started eating, don't stop. So many times, it's like the lamb. We take something from the leg, but God says, you still got the liver, you still got the kidneys, you still got the heart, you still got the muscles, you still got this, you got that. God says this, I have given you the whole loaf, but you can't eat it all in one go. That is why they can get the amazingness of Jesus. As often as you come, you start to eat. You start to eat. So God says you can't live. That means you've got to continually be eating. Continually be eating. So, you know, after this clip, you and your family can go together and get some bread and do communion. The Bible says bread is the Word. And now let me just give you a quick download on this. The Word, when we start looking at the Word, sometimes we just word something that's written down there. But when the Bible uses an Old Testament scripture, the Word there is, I hear the Word, I perform the Word. So every single time that Jesus says, I am the Word of God, he says, I am the Word and I perform. I am the Word and I perform. You can't separate the two. So what happens when Jesus spoke it, he says, you just didn't hear a sound, there was an action. You didn't hear a sound, there was an action. So when we take the body of Christ, we take the Word of God by faith, there is an action to what we do. It is not just a sound, it is not just an atmosphere, it is an action. Jesus said, a miracle, and a miracle happened. Jesus said, let there be life, and life happened. Jesus never said, you've heard a sound, now wait for it. He goes, no, they are one. So the first thing he says, eat all of it. Do you realize for every need that you and I have, the answer is in the bread. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. So when you come together, spend time on it. And next thing he said, he says, this is a new covenant in my blood. Leviticus 11:17 says, life is in the blood. And you know what he said? Again, he uses the same thing. He goes, when you come to it, I want you to take all of it. I want you to take all of it. I want to just read something to you, how powerful the blood is. This is in Hebrews 9, verse 12. And he did not enter by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. Wow. I want you to get this. You're taking something that hasn't got a use by date. You're taking something that keeps going, giving, and on and on and on and on. So when we start talking about it, the Bible says, today, and this is what he did. Now watch this. He gave it to him. Let God minister to you during communion. I want to encourage you as a family. And if you're alone, is to just take some bread and do that, and then close your eyes and you go, God is giving me his Word. God is giving me his life. I'm going to pray for you in a moment. We were just before we started, we were praying. We're just saying, God, you just want you to move upon people. I know that there's a lot of you are struggling. I know that there are a lot of things, but I'm here by the Word of God just to expound to you that there is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the Word, and God makes it all available. So when we start talking about the Passover, the miracle of the Passover happened when they were indoors. The miracle of the Passover happened while they were confined. Let me pray for you. Father, we just come to you now in the amazing name of Jesus. I want to thank you that you're the Lamb of God. You're the Lamb of God. You're the Lamb of God. Father, as the priests went to Bethlehem and bought the lamb, You came from Bethlehem. As the lambs were coming in, you came in. Father, as the lambs were inspected, you were inspected. And Father, you, on your last act before the crucifixion, Father, you showed us what you were going to do. You gave us your whole body. You just didn't give us parts. You didn't give us crumbs, but you gave us the whole loaf. Father, you gave us the whole cup. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray as people do communion, as people receive communion, as people have faith in the communion, it's the blood of the Lamb. The reason God is healing you right now. I believe now as I'm praying out, people are getting healed. I sense in my spirit that there are people with spinal conditions that God is touching them. People that their heart is fluttering. That means that some of you are, your heart is fluttering because of fear. And I believe as you take communion, as you let the Lord minister unto you in your confinement, that your heart will be still. Father, it's that some of you are so worried and you got so fear that anxieties is overcoming you, but the blood of the Lamb calms every fear. The blood of the Lamb and the word of the Lord. God now speaks promises to you. God now speaks His word to you. Father, I just pray that on Good Friday, we bring the good news of your amazing power, that what you have done. Because you went to the cross and you died. You took all of our punishment, and we got all of your freedom. You took all of our sin, and we got all of your righteousness. You took all of the guilt and the shame so that we can have a life of peace and joy and enrichment in you. Father, I thank you that I entered into my confinement, that I was sick, I was broke, I was in need. Somebody else made my calendar, but now that I am in there, because I've walked through the door, you know, you might be here right now and you've never walked through the door. The way you walk through the door is to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to pray for you. If you're here and you go, man, I'm not in a safe place, I would love to go in to the house. And this is how you do it. The Bible says like this: if you will believe in your heart and you will confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died on the cross and took your sin, and you receive Him as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. So if that is you, I just really want to pray for you. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I come to you. Just repeat this after me. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sin and for my sickness. And now I ask Him to forgive me and to heal me. I now receive Him as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. If that's what you've done, hey, we would love to hear from you. You can send us an email. Some of you will find that at the end. But to do that. Now, church, take today. Take some time. Break bread. Drink wine. And then just let the Spirit of God transform you. Today is a good day. Today, while in confinement, we're seeing amazing miracles. You know, next time that we come, we're going to talk about the power of the resurrection. So that's going to be amazing. And you're going to see a lot more. You're going to hear a lot more of the wonderful good news that Jesus has. I am praying for you. I am believing for you. I am standing with you. I believe that we are rightly positioned. We might be in quarantine, but I'm dressed to succeed when it stops. I have got my rod of authority. I am not a beggar. I'm moving out. Hey, God bless you, and we'll see you soon.